Dear listeners, I welcome you to this audio lecture which is part of BA English course in Dr. B.R. Ambedkar Open University. This lesson is part of BA English 3rd year 5th semester. The title of this course is Women's Writing in English, which is a discipline specific elective course for BA. We have 5 blocks and 15 units in this course. Today, we will discuss block 3, intersectionalities. In this block, we will talk about unit 10 with the title sexualities. Today, we will discuss about the difference between gender and sexuality. We'll talk a little bit about queer identities and then cultural and literary representation of sexuality. So, let us begin. With the rise of women's movements and prolific writing on feminist perspectives that critically examined the representation of women, there has been a constant call for criticality within the field. The definitions of feminism in contemporary times are transformed into feminisms, which records intersectionality and challenges the systems that are yet to incorporate complete equality among all people in the society. Different schools of thought enabled women to position themselves and their voices as a collective of voices. 2 prominent thoughts enriched the field of women's writing. The American philosopher and gender theorist Judith Butler argued that if gender was a social construction, then sex was also a construction by society. Butler also argued that gender is performative. Butler questions the normativity of social discourse and argues that there is a fluidity of the norm. That is, it does not remain a constant but changes based on the culture, geography, language, location, among other characteristics. In most societies, there is a difference between the ideas of Butler and the lived experiences of individuals. In Kamala Bhasin's Understanding Gender, which was published in 2003, gender is defined as the socio-cultural definition of man and woman, the way societies distinguish man and woman and assign them roles. Whereas sex is considered a biological or anatomical distinction. She mentions that it is clear in South Asian languages where sex is called prakritik linga and gender is called samajika linga. The idea of sexuality is also considered as a socially constructed thing where there are expectations of those who belong to a particular gender have to go through certain gender roles or they have to perform those gender roles, and whoever belongs to a particular sex should have or they have to perform certain sex specific roles correlating to their sex and gender. While the biological sense of the male and female identity is widely understood and accepted in the society, the socio-cultural aspect is always complex because there is no clear rules or definitions by which individuals perform their gender identity. Many women writers use concepts linked to feminism and gender to talk about women who are deeply affected additionally by patriarchy, caste, economic and social hegemony. The discussions about gender and sexuality continue in the light of more queer identities. In Sarojini Sahu's 1998 novel Upanibesh, Sahu has explored how women's sexuality is continuously hidden until her role of childbearing. The language and comprehension of desire, intimacy, and the connection of the body that figures in recognizing sexual orientation beyond the biological types of sex, so male, female, and intersex, or the gender, masculine, feminine, transgender, others in the gender spectrum, subsume under the broad category that define sexuality. Many studies in the area of LGBTQ+, as well as creative works, have continuously challenged these narrow definitions and perceptions that restrict a person's exploration of their desire and sexuality. In 1973, when Kamala Das's autobiography, My Story, was published, it became a sensational text, especially because she flouted the conventional norms of femininity by talking about her sexuality, her marital affairs, her extramarital affairs and homosexual desire. In discussions surrounding sexuality, desire and queerness, the historical approach has considered queer desire as a psychological problem. Corrective solutions ranged from psychosurgery to correction therapy, and the desires of queer persons were crushed surgically through brain lobe surgery and emotional, physical, mental duress to repair the individual. In India, ancient literature did not condemn queer desires and was accepted as sexual variations. Religion, law, state, medicine, and other fields controlled the discourses surrounding queer bodies and the consistent demands of the transgender community for justice in all walks of life accumulated as marked change in every area. However, the efforts of the Hijra community has brought immense visibility to their presence in society, albeit in the fringes of the society, in the periphery, or as a marginalized community. Trans woman A. Revathi cautions the reader in her book A Life in Trans Activism, which was published in 2016, and in The Truth About Me, A Hijra Life Story, which was published in 2010, about excessive focus on their activities on the streets without tackling the violence and oppressions they undergo. Revathi also ensured that The Truth About Me contained the space to express desire which did not figure in mainstream representation of their fantasies, sexual experiences and gender identities. Now let us talk a little bit about identity and then representation in writings on gender and sexuality. By navigating through different social groups, one is able to identify which category they belonged in. This is made through distinctions in race, class, caste, sex, ethnicity, gender, location, etc. A social identity that is developed always determines whether one is an insider or an outsider to a specific experience and life. Therefore, identity formation is on a multiple axis and is vastly impacted by stereotypical depictions or representations by dominant cultures of society that puts groups or communities in a certain light. There have been many conflicts over the meanings of categories, and it often has to do with the universality of representing people, societies, communities, or nations. Gender and sexuality in academia asks new questions in the areas of identity, representation, and the depictions of those who do not stick to either gender binary or the male and female binary. In India, the perception of gender binary has always been contested in literature of ancient times like Dharma Shastras and Sushruta's compendium, which record a third gender, males who have feminine traits. It has extended to include identities that are not heteronormative or LGBTQIA or gay, lesbian, transgender, bisexual, intersex, asexual and other queer people. Life story, as seen in the works of Revathi, explores one's identity, positions the power of the narrative of the narrator. It also converges the speaker's body as one who possesses experiential knowledge with a critical view of the field of their experience and how it affects their interactions with societal, communal, and familial structures. Virginia Woolf's novel, Orlando, a biography, which was published in 1928, narrates the mystical story of a poet, a man, who lives as a woman for centuries. The biographer locates Orlando's sexuality, for instance, in his attraction to a woman who appears gender ambiguous or appears androgynous. Now let's move on to queer identities. Human sexuality and gender identities are vastly complex concepts. Ever since Article 377 was revoked in India, there has been a steady upsurge in awareness and acceptance of LGBTQIA community. What does LGBTQIA community mean? This is an acronym and then it stands for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, intersex, asexual. And then the plus signifies other sexual identities that comprise pansexual, omnisexual and other identities. This also implies the growing realization that homosexuality is not a lone phenomenon, but includes multiple phenomena within the construct of homosexuality. However, there continues to exist a constant battle for free expression of the choice of gender identity and sexuality within and outside the confines of the family. This emerges from historical ostracization and to discrimination of queer individuals in view of their sexual orientations, choices, and identities. Now the question comes up, when are these sex and gender roles assigned to somebody? These corporeal constructions begin from the time of birth through the assignment of sex and gender roles. Meanings are added to their body by expressions of patriarchy, caste, sexuality, and other categories that significantly influence their life. In other words, when the sex of an infant is declared female, the gender role assigned is that of a woman automatically, with the quick succession of the patriarchal system. Deciding on factors that influence a girl child's life, their representation, their education, employment, marriage, reproductive rights, everything. Right? So it's all the gender role is defined, or the sex role is defined, when the baby is born. Now let's talk about some of the influences of the modern media and society. Social media has evolved as a platform for the amplification of queer rights as well as initiatives and activism by the queer community and their allies. This has led to several approaches of social support like gay parades, pride marches, and an examination of queer-based discourses, both constructive and critical, in online and offline platforms. Moreover, people who are unfamiliar with the variety of gender and sexuality constructs tend to consider gender fluidity as an invalid concept because their approach is predominantly binary. So they think there's only two genders, male and female. Homosexuality and queer identities are a very significant part of literature that not only attempt to represent the marginalized but also include the importance and power of identity. As a poet and fabulist, Suniti Namjoshi's poetry depicts an alternative model of female identity and woman empowerment by virtue of lesbianism, or the same-sex attraction between women. The inclusion and representation of LGBTQIA+ community can be better explored by understanding the queer theory that emerged in 1990s and its subsequent attributes. What's queer theory? Queer theory finds its roots within multiple and diverse cultural contexts like feminism, post-structural theory, powerful movements of people of color, in addition to various subcultural practices like post-colonialism. Queer theorists also ascertain that there is no existence of a defined normal or the normative. They are changing norms that people may or may not fit into. Thus, the primary obstacle faced by queer theorists is to challenge binaries, eradicate inequality, discrimination, and think about differences. This difference is highly visible in the literature that has emerged from transgender persons in the field of academia and activism. Transgender people are those who experience a mismatch of gender identity from the one they were assigned at birth based on their sex. The mismatch of gender identity is, let's put it this way, the transgender woman or the trans woman is someone who identifies themselves as a woman but was assigned the gender identity of a boy at birth. Now, on the flip side, the transgender man or trans man is somebody who identifies as a man but was assigned the gender identity of a girl at birth. Many transgender persons face repercussions and social stigma when they tell their parents, peers, loved ones about their gender identity. At times, they are accepted, but they are also often at risk of being shunned from home, fired from a job, asked to vacate a rented place, and being denied medical assistance, and are discriminated and disrespected. Transphobia is an intense dislike of transgender persons to the point of violence, abuse, discrimination, anger, and expressions of discomfort. Dalit trans activist Living Smile Vidya points out that the intersectionality of caste, class, and gender while journeying through the struggles of transition as well as identity politics in the autobiography I Am Vidya, which was published in 2007. Vidya has spoken about how gender violence is predominant in the trans community, where they are bereft of dignity and they are basically dehumanized. The recent years have witnessed an outstanding increase in modern queer literature across genres. Examples of queer-oriented texts and works include Funny Boy, which was published in 1994 by Shyam Selvadurai, Trying to Grow, which was published in 1990 by Firdaus Kanga, and The Fabulous Feminist, which was published in 2012 by Suniti Namjoshi. Now let's talk about how sexuality is depicted in culture. What are the cultural depictions of sexuality? The word sexuality is first said to have entered the English language in 1879 to define the capacity of an individual to have sexual feelings. Culturally, the basic understanding behind sexuality was that sexual feelings are not predestined. When the term was first used in the 19th century, the necessity at the time was to change the conversation or discourse on sex from a religious one to a medical concept. Gender nonconformity or gender variance is a behavior of expressing gender that goes against the established binary of masculine or feminine gender norms of the society. This gender variance is viewed mostly by society as flouting the established practices or even as a threat to the community. Adrienne Rich, an American poet and feminist, writes about this issue of compulsory heterosexuality adopted by the modern society against women in her essay Compulsory Heterosexuality and Lesbian Existence, 1980. She details how the world views women as naturally heterosexual and forces them into a subordinate position. The 1996 movie, the Indian movie Fire by Deepa Mehta, much acclaimed as the first Bollywood movie to portray homosexuality and depict explicit lesbian scenes, had sparked a flood of discussions on issues related to freedom of speech and homosexuality. The Liberation of Sita is a retelling of Valmiki's Ramayana by Volga. The book is narrated from the individual perspectives of the overlooked minor female characters like Urmila, Ahalya, Shurpanaka, Renuka Devi, etc. Each chapter in the narration of their life stories and their perspectives about men in their lives. September 2018 was a significant month to Indian judiciary as it saw back-to-back historical court rulings on two discriminatory colonial era laws, Section 377 and Section 497. The former was an 1861 British rule, later adopted into the Indian Penal Code, that criminalized homosexuality and punished the offenders who took part in the unnatural act. The section was decriminalized in a landmark verdict by the Supreme Court of India that ruled that gay sex among consenting adults in private cannot be called a crime. 2 years after the historic judgment, the LGBTQ community is still fighting for equality and acceptance in the society. The law has changed and they are not termed as criminals. More and more people are coming out to their family and friends. Yet, acceptance to these ideas of homosexuality and same-sex relationships are very slow, especially in a country like India. Also, laws on marriage, inheritance, adoption, divorce in existence in India does not cover the LGBTQ community yet. Now, let us look at some of the popular literary texts on sexuality, which were written by Indian women. Kamala Das or Madhavi Kutty to her Malayalam readers had one of the most powerful and controversial feminist voices in the post-colonial era. Kamala Das's poems depicted women as humans full of emotions, desire, love, anger, lust, and a voice just like men. Her writings contained graphic characterization of menstruation, puberty, love, lesbianism, and unfaithfulness. Some of Kamala Das's most distinguished works in English are Alphabet of Lust, 1977, Padmavati, The Harlot and the Other Stories, 1992, Summer in Calcutta, 1965, and A Doll for the Child Prostitute, 1977. Another prominent author is Ismet Chughtai. Ismet Chughtai was an Urdu writer, novelist, filmmaker, and a fierce feminist and literary icon. Her works defied societal norms about gender roles, and she propagated the empowerment of women. She often wrote from a Marxist perspective about themes like femininity, deplorable patterns of society, and class disparity. Ismet Chughtai's works were characterized by defying the stereotypes and prejudices against women. Lifting the Veil, 2009, Tedi Lakir, Jade, and Ziddi, 1941, are among her most prominent works, especially in the field of Urdu women's writing. Ruth Vanita is greatly regarded for her promising work on South Asian sexuality and literature. Her books titled Same-Sex Love in India, Readings from Literature and History, 2000, and Queering India, Same-Sex Love and Eroticism in Indian Culture and Society, 2001, brought a refreshing perspective in the field of gender studies. A Play of Light, Selected Poems, 1994, Gandhi's Tiger and Sita's Smile, Essays on Gender, Sexuality and Culture, 2005, Love's Right, Same-Sex Marriage in India and the West, 2005, are some of her most eminent works among various others. Let us quickly sum up what we have learned in this unit. This unit presented a bird's eye view of gender and sexuality and the representations of queer identities in culture and literature. We started with an introduction to gender and sexuality, some of the writings on gender and sexuality too. Then we talked about queer identities, cultural depictions of sexuality, and popular literary texts on sexuality. This brings us to the end of Unit 10, Sexualities. Thank you.